This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Wyatt. Today, Dr. Wyatt addresses an important subject, and Thomas relates the harsh judgment of our Lord, but his words are relevant for us as well, that it will become more tolerable on that day.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading from further in the 11th chapter of Matthew is a challenge. Yes, even a threat we should take very seriously, for there will be a judgment. But do stay with us so you can hear it all.
For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Then he began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethesda! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted in heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At this time Jesus declared, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. Usually, our lectionary readings do not lend themselves well to expositions that will touch on what may be occurring in our cultures or society, as it may touch on our faith. But this is an exception. What Sharon has read begins with our Lord comparing how those in leadership, the authorities, saw John the Baptist and then himself. That one was serious-minded, an ascetic, and they said he had a demon. And of himself they said he eats and drinks, and therefore he's a glutton or a wine-bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. It does matter to those who feel their status, their way of life, their wealth is threatened. You will not be accepted. They would not repent as John proclaimed, nor rejoice with Jesus and his message of the coming kingdom. They were not going to accept God's claims and demands no matter what, and they will find a reason not to do so. As Jesus says, wisdom is proved by her deeds. Another way of saying, you shall know them by their fruits. Nothing ever really changes. Always there will be those who will find some reason to reject our message. You're just judgmental, or you're too forgiving. This or that pastor is a hypocrite, or he is found guilty of some crime, or you're too demanding or too pure. It doesn't matter what it is. They will just find something. If it was true of our Lord, so it will be for us. We are certainly no better than our Master. As they did to him, they will do to us. And as it was for the ministry of our Lord, can we expect things to really be different for us? For Jesus begins now to reproach the towns in which he did most of his mighty works: Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. One here is missing, Jerusalem, but that denunciation will come later when he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets, stoning those sent to you. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate." But at this point, his rebuke is centered in Galilee. Jesus' mighty works were mostly of healing, and there should be the expectation that the effect of such remarkable signs would be recognized for what they were, that God was at work in their midst. Jesus is not expecting admiration or even amazement, but a readiness, at least an acceptance of his message and their repentance. Lives had to change. These miracles testified to the divine, God's Spirit in their midst, but few are really asking just how they stand before God. It has never been about a good story to tell, feeling good, even rejoicing at someone being blessed, or even about being sorry for the moment. But a new orientation is involved here, a revolution or a turning about of one's life into a whole new approach in one's mind and heart toward God. To this situation, Jesus expresses deep regret and sorrow. Woe to you! And he will mention first two places: Chorazin, a town believed to be just 2 miles south of Capernaum, and is only mentioned here. We have gospel records of no visits or acts even done here. As for Bethsaida, we have records of Jesus giving sight to a blind man and the feeding of the 5,000 as not too far from here, and also that Philip, Andrew, and Peter had come from Bethsaida, but nothing else. Clearly from this passage, Jesus did much more in these places than our gospel records indicate. They were, as Jesus states, mighty works, works of power, manifesting God's presence, and is the invitation for people to re-examine their position before God. And yet, two of the most notorious cities of ancient Phoenicia, Tyre and Sidon, Jesus declares would have been moved to repentance by such signs. They would have long since repented in grief for their many sins, but not the privileged towns of Galilee. And because of this, these Galileans will on Judgment Day, because of their blessed position and greater opportunity in God, will be judged more severely than those who have not had such a blessed opportunity. Jesus then turns to Capernaum, a site featured prominently in our gospel records. Jesus refers to it as his own city. He expresses no woe, but instead asks a question. Will you be exalted to heaven? The answer is no. You will be brought down to Hades, to the lowest possible place, a place of torment. As Jesus will state again, if the mighty works that were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would remain to this day. Sodom was a place which was seen as the most wicked place ever in human history, and it was not so firmly set in its path of evil as was Capernaum. It would have repented, would not have been destroyed, would still exist if the mighty works had been done in their midst, as was done in Capernaum. But Capernaum cannot be moved by all that has been done in their midst, and because of that, the land of Sodom will fare better than this city. I find this all fascinating. As they, in their believed piety and their efforts at goodness and righteousness, has led to a pride, an insulation, a self-satisfaction, an inability to see their spiritual need. It is like the well-placed fig tree, warm southern exposure, already in leaf. And though it was not yet time for figs, a hungry Jesus found nothing, not even the tasty buds of the beginning of the fig fruit, nothing but leaves. Favored, blessed, but no fruit, not even the promise of fruit. So were Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, and much of Israel of that day. And now I must ask, How much have we been blessed, favored in history, in our own lands, blessed by God with the unhindered expansion of the gospel, blessed with natural resources, creating a life for ourselves unmatched in any other generation, blessed with freedom and opportunity that is the envy of most of the world. Is then more expected of us? So blessed and favored, and let's say it, by God, are we then, as a result, called upon to do much more for His kingdom? Are we to be that much more fruitful as a result? The answer, I believe, to all of that is, oh yes. And we will be, as a result, accountable at some point, perhaps the day of judgment. As it was for Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, I would expect there will be for Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Toronto, not to mention London and Paris, you name it. Will their judgment be worse than that for Tyre, Sidon, Sodom, Babylon, and those of ancient Rome? All of this I will gladly leave in the hands of a just and righteous judge. But I must add, we must tread softly here. We may not have had the signs and wonders offered by the Messiah Jesus in our own midst, but we have been partakers, beneficiaries of the same gospel message, and as a result, its obligation upon us as a society. We have been oh so remarkably blessed by the immigration of those seeking freedoms to express their own love and devotion to our Lord and Savior. They forged a mighty and benevolent rule that has done so much with a gentle hand, allowing untold wealth to be generated that has lifted even the poorest among us to a position that belies the term poor. Not that we cannot do even better. Yet compared to much of the world, we have no idea of what poor can actually be. And we have such a calling before us, such an opportunity, such a constraint or obligation before us. It is the kingdom, as He proclaimed it, of wholeness, well-being, and righteousness in Him, with the outflowing, the flowering of it affecting every part of our world, especially those closest to us. This is not new, but we need to hear it again, those woes, so that it will not be said of us, woe to you, Washington and Ottawa, woe to you, for had others been blessed as you, the whole nation would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. It really is no more complicated than that. I don't believe we are fearful or ignorant. It may seem daunting, even difficult. But remember, it is His kingdom, and He will make it possible that every effort we make and do, that good will last. To build of what God has called us to out of stone and precious metal, so that it will last the judgment. No matter how small we think our contributions may be, this, you see, concerns us all. This is not exclusive for the great, the powerful, the rich. In fact, as this narrative continues, it is just the opposite. Jesus will in a brief prayer say, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. What things were hidden? It is the presence, even now, of the kingdom of God, which was always the heart of Jesus' message. God's sovereign rule, as He is here described by Jesus as Lord of heaven and earth. There is to be no limit to His rule, and His kingdom is even now, Jesus will say, breaking in upon the world. As Jesus says in His famous prayer, and as we often close our messages on this broadcast by saying, may His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This has been hidden. Actually, it has been ignored, dismissed, seen as nonsense or silly by those the world considers wise and understanding. It is not something in their view of their life being informed and educated, for it is this they can trust. But of God's message, even the lowest, those who can be called babes, can grasp the idea. It does not depend on human wisdom, intelligence, or cleverness. God has constructed His purpose, His kingdom, in such a way that all can embrace by just accepting it. Sharon, years ago when we were pastoring, taught a group of high school students. They were a good group of kids. And she would urge that one, who was actually a bit older, yet not in high school, attend her class. Harvey was Down syndrome, you see, but he fully grasped who Jesus was and is, and I can say with confidence stood on firmer ground with Christ Jesus than some of my seminary professors. This is, you see, all for His gracious pleasure. This is how it was designed, purposed, and carried out by our Lord, and it is our calling. The kingdom, God's message of hope, restoration, and renewal, was never intended that it be such that only the profoundly intellectual, the wise and powerful, could understand and or find it. This may actually put some people off, that the rabble, as they put it, the unwashed, have found the narrow way. Perhaps we need to see the truth again, that in the eyes of God, before we pass through the atoning work of Christ Jesus, we are all unwashed, filthy, the rabble and dregs of the world. How is it that He is even mindful of us? Asked the psalmist. Thankfully, He is, that His love extends to even us. But in this, take care. We as a people, as communities, as nations so blessed and favored that we take nothing for granted, that we remain always faithful, humble, trusting in His Word and His Spirit, that we do all we can to see His love and fairness, beauty and joy feel all that is within our reach, that as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we understand and will do what we can to see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That for us it need not ever be said, it'll be better on the day of judgment for someone else. But we will hear the words instead, "Well done, my faithful servant, enter into my rest." For let it not be said of us, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for your city. My Lord and my God, let your Spirit so inspire, equip, and lead us, that we will see a harvest, a great harvest, that many will respond to the gracious mercy you have bestowed on all who will turn to thee. As of old, mighty has been your hand among us, your works in all that we see and are able to do. Let us continue to see souls saved, lives mended, bodies healed, and wholeness seen in many lives, for it is all about your kingdom present now, that it one day will be here as it is in heaven. Always in your precious name, Jesus, forever be praised.
It is critical that as Christians, we understand the importance of how we, our communities, and our nations respond to the call of God. If the cities of Galilee, of Jerusalem, will be judged more severely than the most decadent pagan sites, what will be the judgment upon our cities and villages that have been blessed so long and so richly with the gospel message? I shudder in fear for our hedonistic and self-absorbed cultures when judgment comes. And it will. If you desire further study in this matter, do write this week and ask for Dr. Wyatt's study titled Global Warning. In this readable and concise biblical presentation, you will find outlined God's judgment and, yes, also His great promise. So do write and ask for Global Warning. It can be yours at no charge. We want you to know just how much we appreciate all of our friends who support this ministry, with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we pray that you will seriously consider supporting this ministry, which enables us to proclaim the Word of God throughout the world and to underwrite our children's homes and orphanages and evangelists in many parts of this world of ours. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org.
Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Again, thank you, Sharon. And I want to share a different kind of answer to prayer from Rose of Detroit, who writes, "Thank you for your prayers for my daughter to find a Christian man. Praise God, she's now engaged to a wonderful young man. Rose, I do know how this weighed upon you, and I am so thankful for this answer to our prayers. If you too need prayer for anything, please do write. Dennis will give our addresses at the close of the broadcast, but now the ensemble sings once more that appropriate hymn by Robert York, Come Unto Me. So until next week, may we all know and embrace the mercy of our God."
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. And this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering most appropriately a copy of his book on this very subject, Global Warning. This is a scriptural look at God's warning on us individually and upon our societies. This is a must-read, so do write and ask for Global Warning. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.